Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, see, that's much better. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To whom by wisdom made the heavens. To him who laid out the earth above the waters. To him who made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him who struck Egypt in the firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand, with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings. And slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan. And gave their land as a heritage. And a heritage to Israel, his servant. Who remembered us in our lowly state. And rescued us from all our enemies. Who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you. Your mercy endures forever. It's the foundation of your throne. God, I thank you. I ask you to touch and move. I pray this morning that we will have an experience with that God, the God of mercy and love and favor. And God, I just ask you to be with us. Speak to us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, one of the things, I'm on a quest, a journey, I just don't want to leave anything that God has for me. I don't want to assume God is like me. I want you to know that God isn't like us. Let me help you today. God is not like you. I'm going to let that settle in for some of you prideful people. I know that God says we can pray and see miracles. God says the heritage of the unrighteous is ours. I know all these different things, but we're not seeing a lot of it. And part of the thing I understand is that we got to get into agreement with him, not him. See, most of it, let's be honest, most of our prayer time is, God, here's what I got to do today. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what's happening. Here's what I need you to take care of. Thank you, Lord. Ready, break. All right. We want God to get in on our agenda. And we need to understand that God has an agenda. I'm going to say that one more time. God has His own agenda. I want you to understand, what kind of God do you have? Because I'm convinced that most of us have a God that we've created. We take a little bits from here and there and everywhere, and we create this God. What is your God like? What motivates your God? Do we really know the God of the Bible? And I'm going to say no, because we're not living it out. I want to read this funny thing. Let me tell you where this started. You know the reason I like the Bible? It's because God lets ding-dongs like us be in it. He lets people like us that are just dust and stuff be in it to give us hope, first of all. Amen? Look at Psalms 109. It says, "Do not keep silent, O God." Let me just read this to you. Okay, I want you to hear how angry, but yet it's funny. Yeah, I think it's funny. So laugh with me. "Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful and the liberal media and coronavirus have opened up against me. My boss and Antifa and whatever. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They said things about me on Facebook. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I myself give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good, hatred for my love. Set a wicked man. Listen, he started getting serious. Hey, you talk about serious. He's serious. "Set a wicked man over him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children continue to be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their own bread also from desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has. Let his strangers plunder his labor. Let there be no one extend to him mercy to him. Let there be or nor be any favor to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let his name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of the fathers be remembered before the Lord. Let not the sin of his mothers be blotted out. Let them continue before the Lord, that they may be cut off from the memory of the earth, because he did not show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that might even slay the broken in heart, as he loved cursing," not saying cuss words, but cursing people. "And he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. And his clothes himself with cursing as with garment. So let it enter his body like water, let oil into his bones. Let it be to him like garments that cover him, and for a belt which is girded around him continually. Let this be the reward to my accusers and to those that speak evil against me." Look at the next verse. You ready? "But you, O Lord, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. I don't want that son of a gun to have mercy, but, oh Lord, I'd like some mercy. He goes through this litany of all the curses on these people, and then he wants mercy for himself. He says, oh Lord, remember me through eyes of mercy. Now that guy, get him, Lord. Let me tell you where this started. I got a lot of pushback from people when I was telling people to pray for your enemies. Like Nancy Pelosi and people that you think are crazy. Obviously, it struck a nerve there. Anyway, or you know, politicians and all that. How many have said, man, God is going to swallow up, reach out of this ocean and swallow California? I mean, how many of you thought that, honestly? Could it be that we need a fresh lesson about who God is? Could it be that we're not getting our prayers answered because we ain't flowing with Him? Could it be that we want God to bless us because somehow in our twisted fleshly mind, we think we earned it, or we're better than certain people? We're better than those people in California. Those people that tried to stop worship. We're better than the people that stood up and clapped when they passed that abortion bill where you don't have to give a botched abortion, that the baby is born alive, you don't have to give it medical care for an hour, and they stood up and clapped. We're better than them. That's what we think. And so we're like Jonah. Jonah told us. People think, well, God, Jonah just was embarrassed or whatever. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. God told him, go to Nineveh and preach and tell them the judgment's coming on them if they don't repent. And Jonah, remember Jonah, man, you can't have been to the church at all without knowing who Jonah is. Jonah and the well, the greatest children's story, you know. Well, living inside the well. Yeah, y'all know, huh? You know, they've proven you could do that, by the way. That whale has a big air chain. Anyway. But Jonah, once God got a hold of him, you know what Jonah said to God? I didn't want to go to them because I know that you're a merciful God and you'll forgive them. And I don't like them. And so I don't want you to forgive them. We've got to understand God's heart toward mankind. If we're gonna walk with Him and touch all the things that God wants us to touch, and have the power He has and for us, and see the miracles and see things, we've got to start walking in step, in line with why His very existence is here. God's heart toward mankind, first of all, is three things. The only reason God is here at all. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We don't measure up. We're just like everybody else. God does not need us. But but God's heart to even come down and be with us. First of all, God's heart of love. John 3:16. We just quote it and we don't even realize. You know how I know we don't know it? First of all, we don't show it to other people, so I know it's not in our heart. Second of all, we don't celebrate it. I can't help but lift my hands in praise and worship because I know I don't deserve anything. See, some of you still think you're pretty good. Well, I ain't as bad as so-and-so. At least I'm not a liberal. Well, I ain't done that. Don't you understand? Do I got to reiterate what the Bible says? Your good works are like filthy rags. Stuff you're proud of doesn't measure up. The only way we can get to God is through His love for us. For God so loved the world through His mercy. There are so many verses about mercy. But I just want to, you remember, you know, the types and shadows. Y'all seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know. You know what the thing looks like? The wings pointing and all that. And the Lord told them, that's where you sprinkle the blood, right on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And He said, listen, I'll meet with you there. The Ark of the Covenant is called the mercy seat. My very dealing with you is out of my mercy. My very existence, your very existence in my presence is because I love you and I have mercy for you. I'll meet with you in the middle of my mercy because there's no way else you can get there. And His favor, His mercy, His favor, His love, His favor. Psalms 106 says, verse 4, remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. I don't deserve anything. And the worst thing that happens to us is we compare ourselves to other people. We compare our pain to other people. We compare what we're suffering with other people. Do you understand that God's very dealings with us, Him being here at all, is an act of His love and grace and mercy and favor? Him talking to you at all. And He says we can talk to Him. Him listening to your prayers has nothing to do with how good you've been. Amen. When are we going to get over? Oh, I can't pray today, Brother Allen. I've had a bad week. Oh, so when you have a good week, you can run in. I'm here, God. We have got to get back to understanding that I have nothing without the Lord. My goodness is not good. It's like filthy rags. Without His favor, without recognizing and receiving His love and knowing God loves me, why does God love me? Just because He wants to. Not because I earned it, not because I did right, not because of any of those things. I mean, Jesus Christ hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Why? Because His very dealings with us at all are out of His mercy and His love and His favor. I don't understand people that think God's against them. First of all, your God is way small. If you think God's against you and you're still breathing, then your God is puny and worthless. Right? If God, look, if the God of the Bible wants you got, you got. Right? If he wanted you got, you wouldn't be sitting in here. God's very, I know I'm harping on this because if we don't get this, everything else, if we feel like I had some way of earning God's favor, we'll always twist the Bible. See, the word, we'll always twist it. We'll always twist our own. Well, God's hearing my prayers because I have really pressed in here. No. God hears your prayers because He's merciful. He loves you. He has favor on you. My very existence is because of His love, mercy, and favor. You see, I've got to receive that because the first thing that happens when I know that and I receive that is my heart cannot help but be thankful. I cannot help but know His heart. See, when I don't, everybody hear me, I'm going somewhere with this, and then we're going to pray. I feel like God's going to do some miracles in here today. Do you understand? If I don't know His heart, then I'll misrepresent His hand.
Amen.
How many people are not being prayed for? Like, that, go back to that Nancy Pelosi thing, and what's the guy on HBO? It's a real atheist guy. Bill Maher. People say, oh, man, you pray. You're not? God has mercy for him. He has love for him. If you think He doesn't, then you're a religious person. You think you've earned something. God's very dealings with mankind completely comes out of His love, mercy, and favor.
Amen.
And when you understand that, see, when you get that in your heart and you know, man, God loves me. Even if I'm walking through hell, God loves me. Psalms 139 says, even in the depths of hell, your hand, He loves me. He's for me. Mercy. I'm not alone. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I am not alone. Once you get that, guess what happens? You start learning His attitude. God's attitude. See, we got to get in agreement. If we want to see the miracles, if we want to see God an active part of our life, we got to get in His flow, not ask Him to get in our flow, which is what most of us do. Isn't that your prayer time, most of us? Look, God, I got this, I got that, I got that. God, could you do something about my wife's attitude? God, I need a little extra. It'll be nice to have a parking place. And look, God, I really want to see this happen. Okay, God, ready, break. And then it don't happen like that. And you go, God, what's the deal? We talked about this morning. Right? God has a flow and an agenda. He's not going to do anything that's not in agreement with His heart. And you go, well, what about the children of Israel? You know how He punished them? It says it in the Bible, and it tells them all the time. He talks about His servant Nebuchadnezzar. You have no idea what God has protected you from. You have no idea. That Shaq movie, my favorite line, you know, and I don't look to the Shaq movie for my theological depth, okay? It was just a movie. But I love the part where the lady playing God had sunglasses on, kicked back and said, "Well, you know, I thought you," she said, "Son, you have no idea how much I'm doing right now." God's mercy is all around us. God's grace is up, His favor, His love is all around us. And when I start getting that in my heart, then guess what? My attitude changes. What is the attitude that God wants us to walk through this life with? I am so glad you asked. It's Galatians. Look at the attitude. Look at it. Galatians chapter 5. Here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now see, everybody hear me. We think these are options. We think these are gifts, like the gifts. Well, the gifts of the Spirit, you know, some He gives this, some He gives that, some He gives patience, some He gives peace, some He gives joy. We think it's like that. No, no! You're misreading, you're misinterpreting the Scripture. It says the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit is implanted in me, this is what grows. It's an attitude that you walk through life with because you know His heart. I can have those things because I know He's had all of those things for me. Did you catch that? If the let me bottom line it. Some of you are still looking at me confused. If the Spirit, if these things, I'm not talking about perfection. Y'all know that. I'm not perfect. If you think I am, you're sadly disappointed. You will be disappointed. He's talking about these things should be in your life and growing. As long as we're getting better. As long as we're growing. If the Spirit is planted in you, this is what grows. If you don't have these things, if I plant an orange tree seed and I plant the tree, I'm not going to sit around and go, when them lemons going to come out of that tree? Right? Because I know what I planted. God is telling you, once you get my heart, this is who I am. This is the whole reason God's dealing with us anyway. Don't you know God laughs at us? I mean, all of the problems, and we getting mad. People are fighting. I mean, the lady, I shouldn't have watched it. It was on YouTube. I should have watched. Lady calls the police on this teenage kid because his boss said, don't let nobody in without a mask. And it was a pet food store. We're not talking life and death here. I came all the way over here to get food for my dog, and you won't let me in. My constitutional right. And then she starts hollering. She said, man, I just work here. I'm getting minimum wage. The man told me, you can't come in. It's against law. I mean, she goes on. She calls 911. Don't you know God sits up in heaven laughing at us? Yes, He does. And if you don't think He laughs at you, He laughs at you the most. Because you stupid enough to think He don't. But yet, we are what He has chosen to love, to show mercy and favor. When I plant that in my heart, then I start, this Holy Spirit begins to produce these things in me. This attitude. See, these are all attitudes, but guess what? Everybody look at me. You can't have patience if you don't have somebody you need to have patience with. Maybe God, you're praying, God, change my wife. Why'd she do that? I'm talking about somebody else, baby. I'm not talking about her. Or my coworker. Why did he do that? Maybe the Holy Spirit is trying to say, you know, I got mercy for them. Also, see, if you don't have his heart, you won't have his attitude. You see? You see that? If I don't know his heart, then his heart wants to have mercy with the meanest person I know. He has mercy on a, you fill in the blank. Because all of us were in that boat. And he came to us with his love, his mercy. So I want those things to be a prayer. I need to begin to ask, Holy Spirit, I want that more and more in my life. Holy Spirit. I'm starting to be able to go back and visit people. So there's a few people. And we still got people that hadn't come back to church. And I understand that. And it's there, you know. But I pulled out of North Hills. I kind of underestimated the speed of a truck coming. So I pulled out. You know, when you get halfway out and you realize, well, he's a little closer than I thought. So I just kind of hit my gas. Now, he didn't have to slam on brakes or nothing. He actually speeded up and got right up behind me and started flashing his lights, honking just for halfway down the hill. Just honking at me. See, I've been dealing with this. God's been beating the snot out of me with this for about 2 weeks, so I wanted to share it with y'all. And my flesh started. I could feel the little rumbling. You know, something's going on. And the Lord spoke to me and said, man, I got mercy for that guy. No, I did not slow down. This is bad attitude right there. That's the kind of stuff I watch on YouTube, brake checking people. Anyway, so I started laughing. I said, okay, Lord, you got it. Because even if I was him, God has mercy for me. See, it changes your outlook on life. Things don't bother you as much. And when he got up beside me later on, there was a turn. He was turning left. I had this big smile on my face. I looked over and said, Jesus loves you, man. I don't think he really understood what I said because he told me I was number one, and it was awesome. Yeah. Is this that big of a deal? Does God not love him? See, that's the kind of thing. Here's what I'm saying. If you don't understand, that's the kind of thing that will ruin your day. It's those little things like that that will ruin our day. But if I have a heart of mercy and grace, and with my attitude, let me just end with this and we're going to pray. Turn to James chapter 2. My attitude always produces action. When you have the right attitude, it will not let you not have action. Here's what it says. Listen to this now. Are you listening? Please hear this. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If my brother or sister is naked and destitute and of daily food, and one of you saying, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Listen, please hear this. Thus also, faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. Wow. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Do you understand? Faith without works is dead. Now we in religious church, they right off the bat demand works. Start looking, don't smoke, chew, hang around those who do, don't do it. Right? When God says, if you get my heart, and it starts affecting your attitude, Romans 12 says, I will transform you from the inside out. You'll become a new creation. Amen. But that new creation, listen, please hear this. That kind of faith demands action. It demands works. It will not live without expressing itself through good deeds. Faith demands action. His presence in my life, if He is growing those things, it will demand that I act. If someone refuses, there is no evidence. That's how you know there's no evidence in their life that God exists at all. Then maybe there is no faith. The real faith is not there, because real faith demands that I act. Not perfect. I'm not talking about perfection. It demands that I do something. Amen. It won't stand by and just let things go on.
Amen.
It won't stand by and just let people and say, oh, that's too bad. It compels me to have faith and show mercy. It compels me to pray for them. It compels me to give something away because I can't help it. Because real faith demands action.
Amen.
And when you get His heart, man, God loves to have mercy on everybody. Well, I don't want Him to have mercy. Well, maybe that's why you can't feel the presence of God. That you're bound up in a well called what you want instead of what God wants. Maybe that's why we don't see the power in the answered prayers. Because good deeds should come out of faith of in a good Father, in a good God. I want to see people helped. Why are you doing it? Why are you sacrifice? Why? You know. I mean, every time, we give away a lot of money. We help people. Now, we try to do it diligently, do our due diligence, check there. We help people a lot. But can I tell you, I mean, you know what the first question I get every time when I talk to other churches, well, how you know they're not taking you? You know what my response is? I don't care. I don't care. Does God not have mercy for them? Now, I'm not, look, I'm not going to finance somebody's lazy and all. And we do our due diligence. We check their references. We check their story out and all that. Todd handles it. You know, he checks his story out. But listen, I ain't worried one iota about them taking us. You know why? Because God has mercy for them. The worst person you know, God has mercy for. He has grace for. He has favor for. He loves them. When you start living your life that way, you start being a conduit of love, mercy, and favor. Your prayers begin to come in line. Let me pray for you. Let me help you. Let me believe that with you. Let me do that for you. Let me forgive when they didn't earn it. That's a lot of times I run into people. And this is my question, and then I want to pray, because I believe God wants to do some great things this morning. When I have people that have unforgiveness towards somebody else, well, they hurt me, okay? Not denying that. Okay, how long, come on, Kat. Everybody look at me, because I want you to think about it. This gauges me. How long, I mean, this is really the question I ask. How long and how many hoops is appropriate till I forgive them? How many hoops they got to jump through? What's the problem? Well, they said something bad about me on Facebook. You wait till next week. I'm going to put out another one just to stir the pot. I'm having fun with it. Well, they did this. They did that. How long in your mind is the appropriate time before you forgive them? I'm not saying be their best buddy and go back and let them do it again. That's not forgiveness. But I'm saying, and then ask yourself, what does God do? How long does God make you? How many hoops does He make you? Seems like I read somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong, I read somewhere where it says, if I confess my sins before Jesus, He is faithful and just to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I mean, it's like, you ask, boom, done. Because that's His heart toward us. It's His heart toward us. Now, I know, listen, don't let the religious spirits overtake this conversation. Religious spirit, well, you got to pay consequences. What about consequence sin? That's a different sermon. Man steals money from me. God's got mercy for him. I need to forgive him, right? Doesn't mean I need to let him hold my wallet next week. Right? It's a consequence. It's different. Do you understand? If we're going to see what God wants us to see, we got to get in line with His heart and His attitude and let our actions flow with what He's doing. Does that make sense? I want to share with you, and then we're going to pray. Share with you a verse. After all I've just preached, after everything I've just said, man, this is an exciting verse. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come. come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Dang. Why? Because I've been good? No, that whole chapter is about we have a high priest that he spilt his blood, tore the veil. I can come into his presence. He said, because we have a high priest named Jesus Christ, come bold. He didn't say come crawling in, weeping, I'm so bad, all that stuff. He says, come boldly. Why? Because you've been good? No. Because I know I got a God that's full of love, mercy, and favor. So I can come boldly because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I can meet with Him on the mercy seat. Wow. In time of need. This is what I felt like the Lord said. My prayer team, come on down real quick, if you would. Please, hurriedly, move quickly. Okay, Al, come on down, please. Okay. Everybody look at me. I have a word from the Lord for you. If you're in a time of need, He has mercy for you. His mercy, His grace is for you. There's some of you going through some physical problems. I was glad to hear the good news. I want you to come down and let somebody pray for you. Time of need. We didn't expect that 2 weeks ago. See, we all go through times of need. Some of you might not be in a time of need right now. But guess what? I bet you know somebody that is. How about just stop worrying about whether they deserve mercy or not and just know God has mercy for them. Ask God, meet Him at the mercy seat. Want anybody to rise to your feet?